Yeah, praise God. You know, it's another good morning that we get to hear God's word, and I know that God has something for us to know and to hear. And you know, there's one thing that we need to, as we are looking at this man Jacob, I want us to reflect on who he is. I want us to reflect on the things that he inherited, the systems that he was born into. He was already second to his brother. He did not know that he was divinely ordained by God to inherit the blessing, to inherit the lineage, you know, the covenant. He did not know all that. I'm not sure if his mother ever told him or his father ever told him, maybe in the time, but the mother knew because she inquired of the Lord, and who knows, maybe this is why she aided him to do that, to steal his brothers, and you know, in his cunningness to come and just con his brother and ask Esau to sell his birthright for him. But you know, one of the things that we see that God, in as much as God ordains people in a certain direction, human beings have the role and have the choice that they have to enter into that direction. You understand? So everyone has a choice, and that's why the Bible says, woe to you if, I mean, evil things are going to come. I mean, it's already been prophesied that in the last days, the love of many will grow cold, and wickedness will increase, and there'll be increase in, you know, hatred and brother killing brother. But the Bible also warns us that woe to you, him who through these things come. Because in the same end times, there's going to be the true church. You know, there's going to be the body of Christ, which is going to be purified. That the Bible says that the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the glory of the former. That in the last days, you know, God shall establish his church. He shall pour out his spirit on all flesh. So there are two prophecies that are running side by side, amen, that are running side by side. And even with the church, there is a true church of Christ, and there is a harlot, which is a prostitute, which is the church of Jezebel, and the church of Babylon. And as it is going on, the church of Babylon is being exposed, you know, and the church of Christ is still growing stronger. So there are things that we'll be seeing and we'll be like, oh, the church of God is suffering. No, there's a true church. The true church that Christ is building is still strong. The Bible says God's inscription remains as this: the Lord knows those who are his. God knows those who are his, and it is an honor to be known by Christ. It is an honor to be included in Christ. It's an honor to be of the true church of Christ. And it doesn't matter, because there are times there are people who start well, but along the way, because they were looking for power, then they entered into the wrong covenant with the devil. There are those who started well, and then they veered off. And maybe there are also those who started in the wrong side, and they are trying to shape their congregations, and they are trying to shape them to appear Christ-like. So God must give us a lot of discernment to know where we are, to know where we should worship, to know what are the things that are the doctrines of God and the doctrine of demons. Because there are two types of doctrines which will be taught. There are doctrines of God, and then there are doctrines of men and of demons. You know, things that have an appearance of truth, but it is not truth. And slowly by the scriptures that we are reading, and by the understanding that we are reading, we need to understand the doctrine of Christ. We need to understand, what does it mean to be included in Christ? What does it mean to die in Christ, to be buried with Christ, to be resurrected with Christ, to be seated with Christ? What does that mean for us as a New Testament believer, as a person who is filled by the Spirit of God, as a carrier of God's presence? How does that make you understand that you are God's child? You are included in Christ. Jesus Christ is your firstborn. That as he is in this, so are we. As he is right now in heaven, so are we in this present world. That we are seated with Christ. Positionally, we are seated with Christ. That we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. That he that knew no sin was made sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. You know, that's something that we were just discussing. I mean, yeah. And when you read 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says God made him to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. And many times, if you look at that verse, it says, might become the righteousness of God. And many times we say, no, we are the righteousness of God. And you have to understand that the verse says might become. The verse tells us of a process that we work in righteousness, towards righteousness, from righteousness. And this is the work of sanctification, what we've been talking about. We've been talking about that the Word of God is washing us. Continually, we are being washed by the Word. We are being cleansed by the Word. Things that are not of God are being shown in us. God is pointing His light on areas in our lives that need to change. So I really want you to focus not on deep mysteries, not on revelations, not on insights, not on great things, but focus on becoming. Focus on becoming. What are the things that God needs to work in you to know Him better? What? And this is through the deconstruction of ideations. You know, the Bible says that the tools that God has given us are mighty unto the demolishing of strongholds and taking every thought captive and making it obedient to Christ. So if there are negative thoughts, there are negative walls. You know, you can have an idea that you are poor. Or maybe your overcast system, and that ideation can give you a perception. You know, in socialism they say they're social constructs. That the way they have created that blacks, let's say for example, blacks are the least of the food chain, or maybe in India, I don't know the levels of the caste, that these are the bottoms of the bottoms. You know, the poorest of the poorest. And because you're already born in that social construct, you're already born in that system. You in your mind, you start developing an acceptance that this is how I'm born. You see, they say of the elephant that the elephants, when they are young, they tie them to a rope and to a pole. And every time the elephant tries to pull away from that stick, it cannot. And so it grows up knowing that it has no capacity to pull itself from the peg. And so you'll meet a grown-up elephant that has the capacity of more than, I don't know how many tractors. It is held to one spot by one simple peg. Why? Because its mind, as it grows up, as it grew up, it was deconstructed in a way. It was constructed in a way that it knows that it cannot overcome this peg. And so you find a big elephant is controlled by a small peg. And this is how it is with Christians. This is how it is. We are with Christians. We are big elephants, who are tied by simple pegs that it just takes one day of just pulling it out, and realizing that we are free. It just takes one day of entering God's rest. It just takes one day of realizing, my God, I am the child of God. I am a son of God. A son of the God who owns the entire universe. Right now, if you are growing up, let's say if today you get a call that Bill Gates has decided to give all his inheritance to one. He did it randomly, and he did a raffle, and using all the 8 billion people in the world. It landed on your name, and from today you are Daniel Tabu Gates, or you are Geoffrey Nwanaforo Elon Musk, and from today you are his son, and this is your ATM card that has no limit, and you can function as him. How does that change your mindset? For some of you who are working, you will quit on the spot. You can even go and slap your boss. You say, you have been abusing me. Bah! You slap the guy. If you have been, whatever job you are doing, your life can change in a day. Why? Because you received a new identity. You received, you understood something that there is so much the one who is now giving you his identity has so much capacity. Yet this is a man. Yet this is a man. How about the God who owns the entire universe? How about the God who is greater than the richest man on earth? How about the God who now tells you, my son, I love you, you're my child. And not only that, I am living inside you. Everywhere you go, I walk with you. Everywhere you step, I step with you. That I live in you, I am inside you and you are in me. Now imagine, think of how your life is supposed to change, that even when a demon comes, it cannot get to you, that a curse cannot land on you, that you no longer need to strive because God is at rest. You know the Bible? Hey, do you know how God gets refreshed? Exodus 31 verse 17, the Bible says that, and God, this is a sign with him, that God rested on the seventh day. He rested and was refreshed. He ceased from all his labor. God is at rest. Our God is at rest. He is at rest. He is not striving. He is not laboring. And in Genesis 6 verse 6, he said, my spirit will no longer strive with this man, because he is mortal and his days will be 120. And he further reduced them to 70 years. 60 plus 10, 70 if you are strong. Why? Because God is immortal. He made man to function as an extension of his physical realm. Because God is in the spirit, but he wanted to demonstrate a physical realm, a new dimension that did not exist. And he makes man. And then this man decides to rebel. And he's like, you know what? I will not strive with man. When you enter God's rest, you will stop striving with men. The reason why we are settling in on Jacob is because we are seeing how a man was striving to get something that was already divinely ordained by God for him. He was striving, corruption, bootlicking, pushing people, doing what and what and what. Striving in human effort to establish wealth that he did not need, that in one day he lost because he realized he was going to meet his brother and he had to send everything as a gift. Even his wives, his children, he had to send all of them. And when they asked, when they meet Esau, what are these? He said, no, these are for your servant. This is the guy who stole everything. He worked with Laban. You can imagine. He thought he was smart. Then he met someone who was smarter. In Swahili, there's a word saying, puagu hupota puaguzi. The thief meets a bigger thief. And the Bible says the guy changed his wages, 20 times. Apart from changing his wages 20 times, remember, he even conned him to marry his wife. When he was to marry, he loved Rachel. And then on the wedding day, the Bible says, and behold, in the morning, there was Leah. This is something I've never understood. What happened? That behold, in the morning, it can be Leah. And I think the clue lies in Laban. The Bible says that Laban told him, I have learnt by divination that I have been blessed because of you. Laban was using witchcraft. He learnt by divination. So the natural man met the spiritual man from the wicked world. You understand? And that is how wizards, witches, those people that use dark powers, rule over the men of the world. Because they have a spiritual, a demonic spiritual wisdom. Because divination is their knowledge, is demonic wisdom, is demonic knowledge. You understand? It is a wisdom that is above what ordinary men know. And that is why the wizards are feared. They are feared by ordinary men, but they are not supposed to be feared by believers. Because you have God in you, you have something superior to their power. And that's why many wizards, whenever they encounter Christ, they say, I have never seen such power. There's that testimony on the internet, maybe you can go and look for it, of Pastor James Kawalia, ex-satanist who turned to Christ. And he tells you of the moment when this young girl was sent by God to go and deliver him. And he had that time he had so much power to command so many demons. And the guy called him James. James. And he was like, anyone who calls him James is challenging him, because no one will call him by his name. And then when he turned, he saw so much light. And he realized there is something that is greater than all the power he ever thought he had in the demonic world. And that is the power of Christ. Christ in you. This is the mystery. Christ in you. Christ in me. The hope of glory. Christ in you. He that is in you is greater than the one is in the world. Jacob encountered a demonic man, a man of divination, and the guy conned him. But the Bible says the guy was in love. So he said that seven years appeared like a few days to him. True. The guy worked. 7 years, imagine. You can imagine you're laboring for someone for 7 years, for a wife. All your sweat, all your labor. And that is how people are killing young men nowadays. Giving them dowries of $30,000, $50,000. So that means you want the guy all his life to work. So before he even reaches that dowry. Systems of men. And that's why you find men now take the shortcut. They pregnant the women. Then that way you give them for free. But you see, when they've done that, they have lost something in God. They lose an ordination. They lose something. No matter how much, they lose something. That is the reality. They lose something. Because for a morsel of bread, a bowl of lentils, they sell their birthright. And the enemy is very happy. Why? Because he created the system in that way. So that it encourages immorality. It encourages you to break your covenant with God. The systems of men are designed to make us fall. The systems of Babylon are designed to make godly people fall, to make godly people break their covenant. But we must understand that in every challenge, God has created an avenue for us to succeed. God has created an opportunity for us not to engage in sin. God has created an opportunity for us to stand above the trials. Let us find the wisdom of God. Let us enter into God's rest. God desires that you enter into his rest. Our God rested and was refreshed. Can you imagine? God rested and was refreshed. It's like God was tired after creating the earth on the 6 days. Then on the seventh day, he rested and was refreshed. And the Bible tells us that now God has created an opportunity that anyone who desires can enter into God's rest. There's a day called today that you can enter into God's rest. And when you enter into God's rest, you stop from all your striving. Why? Because you know your Father. You have a Father. There is no child that struggles with what to eat. There is no child that struggles with school fees from the Father. There is no child that... Now God, our Father, is bigger than any... He is more holy, more righteous, more loving than any other earthly father that we could ever have. More, he cares for us. He's greater than any earthly father, than any boss, than any system of men. And that is one day you can get to a point where you say, you know what? This is the last day that I'm striving with men. I remember, I think I told someone that there's a day that I called someone, and the first answer they asked me is, how much do you want? And in my heart, I was like, oh my God, I have been reduced to a beggar. That any time I call someone, the only question they ask is, how much do I want? Even before greeting me. Yes, I had a need then, but then at that point, I decided I don't have the need, and this is not the person that I'm going to ask. And this was someone who's very close to me. And I remember that day I told God, may I never be an object of shame. May I never, your name to be put to shame because of me. And I think that's the word where I think I got the word. I think it's in Joel chapter 2, he says that I am sending you new grain and new wine, enough to satisfy you fully. Never again will I make you an object of scorn unto the nations. And I held on to that word. And I said, you know what? Never will I make you an object of scorn unto the nations. And ever since, I told God, you know what? Prosper me, that I will never have to beg. And I tell you, through the word of God, I have never had to beg. And I will never beg for the rest of my life. Because I entered a covenant, I entered a place of rest. That I realized that there is a God that owns everything. And that is why positions will come, because I don't struggle for positions. If you don't think that I deserve a position, I will move on to the next place. The whole universe belongs to my Father. This is what Jesus came to introduce. That's why the Jews could not understand. How can you, a mere man, call God your Father? How? Because to them, they operated with God as Yahweh, that distant one, the one who was on the mountain, the fire. But Jesus came to teach them and to show them that God is your Father. You have a Father who loves you, who is concerned for you, who cares for you. I have a Father who will never ever fail me. I have a Father who is not limited to the systems of the UN to bless me. I have a Father who is not limited to the systems of my organization to bless me. I have a Father who is not limited to my budget. He's not limited to the resources I have. I have a Father who is not limited to the inheritance or to what men think of me. He's not limited to my degree or to my training. He does not need my PhD. He does not need my master. He does not need my degree to bless me. I have a Father who can bless me irrespective, who can send manna and feed me in a day, who can multiply oil, who can give me anointing that I don't need to sow to men to receive anointing. I don't need that. You don't need the things you don't need, because you have a direct connection from your Father. God is your Father. Today I want you to remind yourself that you have the Father who is the creator of the universe, who owns everything. And when you need it, He will command the ravens to send and to bring meat to you like Elijah. When you need it, He will send oil. He will send a widow of Zarephath. He will create a Shunammite woman. He can give you a fish. He can teach you how to fish. You can enter an economy of heaven. In fact, the word economy is the bad thing. It's the commonwealth of heaven. Because economy is the science of luck. So God, there is no luck. With Christ, it is you give them something to eat. Enter the commonwealth, not of Israel on earth, the new Israel, the new Jerusalem. We are the true Israel of God. We enter into the commonwealth of heaven because we have a Father. May His name be praised and be worshipped. Amen. I am done for today. Yes, Lord. May His name be praised. Yeah, feel free if you want to reflect.
I'll share something. I think this is really helpful to the topics for me, because I'm struggling with something for my personal issues. Actually, when you talk about living on God, it can pay. So it's about, first of all, it's something come that I know that. That means I am knowledgeable enough. Then that means that I have that wisdom. So that's the thing. I'm feeling that it's a child of God, we don't need to depend on others. We don't need to think that other can harm us, because we have our Holy Father who is always with us to protect us.
Amen.
Even if I need something correction for me, He is here and He is ready to enlighten me.
You don't need it. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's the thing. So it's really the today lecture is really enlightening for me personally. Amen. So thank you.
Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God.
All right. Thanks, Tim Hunter. Thanks for the word. Thanks for the reminder. It's always good to know that we are not here on the survival mode.
Mm.
But we're actually here to excel. We're here to dominate. We're here to live the fullest, you know, because we serve the living God. And being heirs of His kingdom, we're not surviving in this world. It's a good thing, and it's a good reminder that even at that lowest point when you feel like all is not happening, it's just a matter of saying it is well.
Because
believe the God that you serve will provide. It's all sufficient. So yeah, thank you for that, and it's a very good encouraging word. We'll continue feeding on it, and yeah, thank you.
Amen. Amen. Jeff, anything? Okay. Let's give thanks to God. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. We give you glory. Thank you for the simple reminder that you are our Father, and you're bigger than the richest man on the earth. You're bigger than the most powerful man on the earth. You're bigger than the presidents. You're bigger than the kings. You're bigger than the heads of agencies. You're bigger than that at all. And we submit ourselves to you, O God. It is you that raises us for your glory. May we learn to enter into your rest, into the rest that you have prepared for us in Christ Jesus, that we shall stop striving with religion to please you, but we shall know that you have already loved us, and that you are concerned for us, and that you died for us on the cross, that while we were still sinners, you loved us, you are concerned for us. And by our simple faith and belief in you, we received the salvation of our souls. And we are not just saved to survive, to bear it on the mere minimum. No, but we are saved to enter into the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is superior to the kingdoms of men. That's why you said among those born of women, none is greater than John the Baptist, but among the least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. That means that the least in the kingdom of God is greater than the greatest man on the earth according to the systems of men, and also over the systems of the devil. We are greater, O God. May we be. Pull away the pegs. Pull away the things that are holding us back. May we understand truth and be delivered, be transformed by the renewal of our mind to know that which you have prepared, that which you have in store for us, and that which you, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, what you have prepared for them that love you and are called according to your purpose, and you have chosen to reveal it to us by your Spirit. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. I thank you for everyone who's listening today who does not have a relationship with you. And maybe this message is for you, and you're just saying, I want this Father. I just want you to say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for the price that you paid on the cross of Calvary, that you died for my sins, and today I accept the forgiveness of the sins of my sins by the price that you paid. And today I am your son, I am your child of God, and you are my father. In Jesus' name we pray and believe. Amen. And I know, this message I know will be shared. And if you've listened to this message, find a Bible believing church and connect to God and learn about God. And God will send you the right people to hear from him and to be taught by him. And rest in the assurance that you have a father and that God loves you. God love you. And shalom. Bye.